You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network.
This is fucking terrible. Hello and welcome back to another edition of Comedia Gogo's podcast, Public Access, once again and once and for all. I'm Larry.
I'm Regan.
I'm Jess.
And we are happy campers and pleased as punch for me to be back on.
Yeah, you're our special guest.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. Dude, I'm doing y'all a favor.
Yeah, man, you're hooking us up.
Yeah.
You're our guests.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And y'all can find a special guest house?
No, we wanted all the thunder to be yours.
Got right, it. Yeah.
Speaking of thunder, I want to thank some of the Deep Throat having special guests. A host that
had. Yeah.
Some dick lickers that I appreciate. Okay.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, well, I get it, but...
No, but I mean, dick lickers is a compliment. Okay. So we had Dino Fox, a.k.a. Foxy Blue.
Yes. Right.
You know, she was a guest host, right?
Yeah.
Dick licker. Right? And then...
I don't know why you classify... Let that define Dino, but Foxy Blue...
She is. And I know that.
Personally?
Well,
right.
I am knowledgeable of that. Brian Ortiz, member of Ghostbusters.
But wait, that's the worst transition ever.
Dick Licker.
Well, why are you defining him as that?
So now you're painting with a very wide brush here.
He's been to London.
What?
He's had spotted dick. And I'm sure you have to lick it before you stick it in your mouth.
I don't know what's going on anymore. Right.
And then finally, Shaggy. From Puto Slam.
Yes.
Right.
Metaphorical dick licker.
No, I don't understand.
If there's anybody that doesn't, it's him. He's a vegetarian.
Yeah.
All right. Would a vegetarian... I mean, Mo's answered that question. And she was on the show as a guest, not a guest host.
Right.
Oh, man. Sound the alarms. Man, I've missed the...
What happened? What the fuck happened?
I missed the... Larry said something to...
really? What's happening? What's going on?
Really, I don't even know what this is. Or offend people immediately.
What's offensive about
it? Glad to have you back, Larry.
Tell me none of those people are dick lickers.
Tell you none of those people are dick lickers?
No, they're not.
Well,
they're all fantastic guest hosts.
Yeah, and I, thank you guys so much for filling in, picking up the slack, doing almost as good of a job.
Well, I'm sure you listened to all of them.
I did. Yeah, I actually did. I really listened to the one with Dino. I have a crush on Dino.
The one with Dino, not the other two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, come on, man. You don't like listening to your own voice?
Oh, I do.
I do. Yeah.
I love it.
Not me, man.
All right.
It's weird.
What about your friends' voices?
It's like touching your own dick.
No, it's not the same thing at all whatsoever. No.
I love touching my own dick.
Yeah, then you should be able to listen to your own voice.
That's
the same thing.
No. It's disgusting, dude. It's kind of pent up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's holding your tongue while in the porno store.
Right.
You come out, and then you just got to say all the
dick,
terrible...
Dick, dick, dick. Like, every time, we got a new special guest host. Regardless of who it was like, fucking dick licker. Like, I'd be at home.
See, and you're saying it.
I know. So, it's a compliment, okay, is basically what I'm saying.
All right.
It's a compliment because, you know what, I was happy that they were doing it, but I was still jealous. And anyone I'm jealous of is a dick licker. And... it's not a homophobic thing because I'm jealous of all gay men because I wish I was gay. Dick lickers.
All right, so...
Well, yeah, the next time Larry cuts you off and you go, hey, dick licker!
I'm jealous because you're ahead of me.
For all of you...
Because you're in front of me and I'm a power top.
God damn it! We're glad to have Larry back, right?
That's right, man.
Glad to hear.
You cut the tumors out of me, but not my perspective, god damn it.
Yeah, the pearls. The pearls are just still flowing out.
The wisdom, man.
Pearls are just flowing out of
Larry. And you should be proud of me. There's chips here. I haven't fucking touched one of them.
Yeah.
Chips, maple candy, right? Oh, sweet sriracha peas.
Don't eat those. Those are old.
Those are a little old.
Yeah.
Dude, they expired November 26th of 2014.
Yep.
So
still there.
Oh, wait, 2014? Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
But like these have have a long shelf life.
No, yeah, no, exactly.
You can still eat those.
No. Yeah. I'm sure you could.
That's the recommended expiration date.
Best before. That's
what I'm saying. So with the fact that they have a long shelf life means that these were purchased probably in 2013. Yeah.
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 No. So anyway. Yeah. I bet you guys are happy. Don't got to deal with the bullshit anymore.
Yeah.
What bullshit are you talking about?
I'm sure all
they were fine.
I'm sure all the listeners.
We missed you, but they were fine without you for a
minute. I heard y'all. I listened to the podcast, but shit talkers.
Yeah, no,
because y'all were like, y'all were guaranteed that I didn't listen. First off, fuck y'all.
Yeah.
And second off, I know you didn't listen because had you, you'd have said stuff about the stuff we said.
No, you know what? Because I'm bigger than that.
Yeah. Also, he doesn't know who Obelisk the Tormentor was. And if he listened to it, he know who Obelisk the Tormentor was.
Look, I listened to the first part. And then when it got to the questions, I was like, who listens to this bullshit?
Yeah,
here it is. So, you know, all of our avid listeners that are out there in podcast land, get a fucking life, man.
You heard it here first. Larry Garza says, if you're watching this or listening to our podcast, get an effing
life.
Get
a fucking life.
Yeah. What is wrong with you people, man?
You got something better to do?
Not all birds are angry.
Well, you
get off the tablets, you know? Walk outside!
Regan, what are our topics for today so we can progress forward?
Now, what are we happy campers to be talking about today, man?
Topic number one.
I did the picture.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did. Bang up job.
I appreciate it. Topic number one.
It was like I did them.
Yeah.
What is your favorite offensive comedy film or your favorite offensive film in general? Mm-hmm. Topic number two, describe your 15 minutes of fame. And topic number three, what's the most tanned you've ever been in your life?
And we're Pleasers Punch. They have back on the show.
Bag of Chili Bunches.
Man.
Or Larry Garza.
Oh, man.
We have Cheetos.
I saw them.
Let me say this. So we don't have a guest today. Mm. However, one of our sponsors, if you will, for our GoFundMe earlier this year was none other than me and my wife's dog, Aleda. And the sad news is she passed away a week ago. Uh-huh. It was really sad.
She was a very good dog.
She was
dog.
A super excellent, sweet dog and boxer. She had to be 15 years, so that's a good dog life. So it's absolutely all good. She was happy dog, years. Dog's life. Because when they found her...
they found her?
Yeah, she was found her in the streets,
dog?
Like a rescue dog type of thing.
Man.
So,
and she was a boxer?
And she was a boxer.
That's 105 years old.
So I met Lisa. So that's like I met Lisa rocky. In 2006, and that dog was there. So that means all that time, however old the dog was, presumably, plus all that time, I would say she's probably like at the very least like 14 years old, probably 15.
She was on the set of Blood Cousins.
She was in the set of Blood Cousins.
Yeah.
Mama. Beautiful dog. So Mama, this show is for Mama. This show is for Aleda, actually. Yes. One of our great sponsors of the show. She can't be with us to take a picture, but she's the sponsor of our show, Living That Dog Life.
So butt pats from all her uncles here at Comedia Go-Go. Yeah. We miss you, Mama.
Yeah, scratch your dog's butt.
Yeah, back butt scratches.
Butt scratches. Scratch your dog's butt in honor of Aleda. So.
Yeah, Regan's her best friend.
I'm her best friend, really. Yeah. Best friend.
Oh, no, you're her daddy.
I am.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd give it to her. Anyways.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So what's been up, man? I haven't been listening to the podcast at all.
No, I know. Yeah, yeah.
They've been really good. It's been pretty great.
Really?
Geez, not once did I really get offended or
really?
Upset.
Really? Even with Foxy Blue?
No, of course not. Not at all. No.
She didn't drop some crazy shit.
No, not at all, actually. Everything was very sound, good advice, good
solid, lots of fun.
Yeah, lots
of fun. We miss you, but we had a lot of fun every time.
Yeah. I was like, man, this is going to be weird without Larry. And then after each one, I was like, this has been great.
Great, yeah. That's the word you use?
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, it was refreshing.
just fun.
Fun.
Had a great fucking time.
That was a blast. Yeah,
it was a blast.
Good friends.
Great friends.
No, great friends.
No one just walked into my kitchen and grabbed stuff just out of the fridge just like they live here.
People that you wish were just around weekly, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah.
Some sort of fucking shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that what you want? You wish I was dead? Is that what you're basically telling me?
I'm just saying.
Wish I fucking died on the slab?
Not at all.
We may eliminate public access.
We may eliminate out of lemons.
Damn straight.
The lemons, you freaking, not being here, the lemonade, the good time that we had with you, yeah, not being here.
Yeah, not
you
that.
You guys were
not
happy.
Not that powdered. I mean, we made.
We got to talk about a movie that all of us saw.
Oh, that was really awesome.
That was really cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was your dick bigger than mine? Huh? Is that it?
Well,
did you like it?
I think Brendan's got a huge, huge.
Are we going there?
You just did.
That's a dangerous path, my friend.
Are you going to ask Brendan to send a picture?
No.
Don't.
I learned from. It's not a mistake.
Yeah,
I got what I asked for.
You certainly did.
You did.
You certainly did.
Yeah, I sure did.
Smooth dick. Smooth long dick.
So, you want me to leave?
No.
No.
I want you here forever.
I mean, do you want me just to be a special guest host today?
No, you're back in the chair. You are the regular host.
I mean, I can't
believe. Things have reverted back to normal. We have normality.
Oh, yeah, back to basics.
No, if it was normal,
settling.
If it was normal, we'd have a guest, but because it's Larry's special show,
hey, bro,
we decided not to have a guest.
That's on y'all, man. I was like, bring it on. Bring one of these special guest hosts to be a guest. Watch them fucking hide in, like, intimidation, man.
No, that's not even what happened. No. That's not even
like under the fury of the comedic machine gun. That's
that's where it is. Huh?
Yeah,
you're the fury of the comedic machine gun.
Fury,
mind fury.
comedy, ha ha, pop 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 pop. All day, dude. Look at that. He goes fucking giggles.
Yeah. Back in full effect.
Make rain on you hoes. Fucking air pussies are coming like crazy on the headphones, man. Not suitable for work.
Yeah.
Suitable for the jerk.
Did we put not
that's safe- what's happening. Yeah, man.
Suitable for the jerk. Like,
yeah, I've been watching
like the jerk. Is that what you're getting at?
Half of those people on Facebook Live are on the toilet right now. And now that I'm
toilet, fucking, let us know.
Let us know if you're on the toilet listening to us. And I'll do some sexy shit just to, like, you know.
Throw off your rhythm.
Just, you know.
He'll be the squatty potty.
Put some, you know, streusel on that pudding you're making, man.
All right. Yeah. Got ourselves a podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Damn, we got
ourselves cheese on that bagel, you know?
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying. You
turn the cream cheese into cheesecake.
That's right, man. Come on your turds. That's what we're looking forward to today.
Yeah, we missed it. We missed you.
Yeah, he said, I don't know if you can hear what he said, but he said it.
So.
My roommate Ronnie calls that seven-layer dipping.
Sour cream and beans.
Jerk off on the toilet.
At work or at home?
Oh, man. Thank you to all my avid, my new listeners and fans from the article that was this.
This guy is overcome adversity. And then it's like that is an obstacle to go there. And he laughed in the face of doom only to come in front of the mic.
I can't wait to check out his comedy.
Yeah, I know. He's been doing comedy for
14 years. You know?
Everyone's listening in, you know, watching.
Yeah.
What's Larry going to say on his triumphant return? And Larry says, coming on turds.
That came out naturally.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Yeah. He's back.
Ah.
He is back.
Oh, man.
I'm going to bust my stitches. And Larry, keep going.
Yeah.
Better than ever.
He's on fire.
He's back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. That's right, man.
Shooting from all cylinders.
That's right. I'm a church-going boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
You're fucking Danny Green on the fucking...
Yeah, talking to burgers. It's
been a wild ride. Yeah,
Lord.
Ain't much to cut.
So yeah, we're glad to have you back, Larry.
I know.
Yeah. What has been new lately beyond living?
Beyond just living?
Yeah.
Some cool shit. Got some cool press I'll talk about. Got some cool opportunities coming up. I've been turning down a lot of shit, which has been a weird perspective, I'll tell you that, because, you know, I was captain
take on
mm-hmm. everything just yeah. to make some money, and, you know, I haven't been. The last podcast we were on, did I talk about going to the Valley? Or did I go to, with Andy?
Yeah, I think so.
I did, right?
Yeah.
Well, I went to the Valley already. Okay, yeah, so other than that, I had the show at the Empire with right. Raymond Horta. Shout out to Raymond and Mario, Ponchi, and everyone else that did the show, man. It was a lot of fun. It was a sold-out theater, which was fucking awesome. They gave us comps, right? You know, when you do a show, you get comps. We all know that. It's just a few. And it was my brother-in-law Tim's birthday. Happy birthday, Tim. And they're like, okay. And I was expecting him just to have, like, seats just in the crowd. He had, like, front row seats. And nice. The fucking Empire was sold out. Raymond sold out the fucking Empire, nice. Man. I'm so proud of him. And it was crazy. And I was like, it was like right after my
surgery.
Exactly. Like it was fucking.
Yeah.
It was, and I
because totally, it was like Monday, and then it was that weekend.
Yeah, like I had the surgery on the 27th. I got out of the hospital like 4 or 5 days after that, like the second, I think. And then I had my follow up on the 7th, which was my birthday. So I had a birthday.
Yeah.
Since then. And then I was at the theater on the 9th, and I don't know. I just had to do the show, man. I booked that show before the cancer, so it wasn't one of those pity shows.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a lot of those, and so you know, kind of
tell him to postpone him a bit.
Yeah, man. You know,
wait till he's healed, and then offer him a show.
You know, and it's one of those things where it's a middle of the road kind of thing. Like, there's either people that think that I'm like laid up, dying still, which I'm right. not. But then there's other people that are like, oh, you're 100% better.
Yeah.
Which I'm totally not.
Hey, you want to take this role as a juggler?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, and I don't, you know, I try not to do the pity party thing. It's been rough. Depression fucking strangled me a little bit. It was pretty rad. You know, survivor's remorse, which I was not expecting. You know,
really?
Yeah, when I got the... So, I said, and you know, before Facebook Live started, that I technically can't say I'm cancer free. My doctor said that I can never say that,
all right.
ever. That was pretty heavy. My doctor also said that if I didn't have the surgery, I would have died in 20 months.
Damn.
Fuck. Right.
Yeah.
And so the fact that I found out accidentally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have been fucking just dead, man. Like that would have. Fucking, that was freaky. And then on top of that, on the other end of the spectrum, I also found out that my surgeries were pretty common.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you know, for a urologist, for a guy that does those surgeries.
Right.
And so it wasn't like
removing a kidney.
Removing a kidney, super common. The middle lobe was best case scenario, the place to have it.
Good.
You know, a robot did it. A robot.
Ooh, a yeah. robot. So robots stealing our jobs,
so
man.
Skynet fucking removed a part of my body. So I was pretty.
That's
rad.
Why you got to keep the robots happy,
right?
By
feeding them lung.
Yeah,
and then to be completely honest,
well, they assimilate our body parts so that they can create a better cyborg in the future.
Right,
right.
Vision.
Mm.
I saw a movie too.
Well, yeah, you saw that movie.
Saw the Raid with y'all.
You did, yeah. You saw the Raid, yeah. We saw
Man.
It Man, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. We certainly did.
Awesome,
it was fucking awesome.
Straight out of Compton. It was great.
Yeah.
I saw
the Martian.
Saw a fucking Martian.
You saw some movies.
Saw
is what
dope.
Happened.
You've been getting to watch movies now,
fucking,
right?
I've been Netflixing and chilling by myself, man.
Yeah.
Nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seven layer dipping, dude. Yeah. It's been great.
Because you do it on your phone on the
right.
toilet.
Right.
Well, because I wasn't able to do either of those functions for a really long time because of the surgery. So, you know, I was seven layer dipping and that shit that, you know what I mean?
It was a dual release.
The spout was fucking backed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chambers full. I was playing.
Mentally too.
Oh yeah.
Like you're just like, oh, I need this.
The way that I'm barfing fucking comedic fucking slaying right now was the way that I was like shitting
always
and coming.
Been.
Well, yeah, but that was me like just tired. That was me with cancer.
Wait, are we still talking about poop or comedy?
Yeah. And so like that's been happening. And yeah. I don't know. It's just going to start doing stuff a little bit earlier. We're going to make some,
some we're getting decisions. Old. Yeah, yeah.
Getting old, realizing that, even though we're not, well, I'm not. Yeah, it's been pretty all right.
Yeah.
Best thing ever happened to me, getting cancer.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
You know, I was like, I just need a little bit of a push for my career to, like, you know, skyrocket. So I got cancer. Thank God.
Yeah, right.
You know,
that's amazing.
That pity dollar, that's a fucking, that's top dollar.
Yeah. You know?
And the fact that I ain't lying, woo!
Wait, you ain't lying?
Yeah, yeah. Like if he was lying that he had cancer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then
yeah.
That's karmically, you really do get the worst cancer.
Yeah, you do.
I got, I really did have stage 4 cancer. So I'm just like, woo! You know, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's the best kind of cancer to have if you want people to feel pity for you.
Exactly. Stage 4. Like, because, you know, it's like...
Stage 2. Whatever. You might as well have diabetes.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Appendicitis. Yeah. Sure, you could die from appendicitis.
Yeah. 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 A feet itch.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right? I got eczema.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. I got a missing tooth.
Right.
The dentist keeps on saying, why don't you replace it? I'm like, eh.
I replaced these fucking nuts. And I didn't have real cancer where I'm like gonna die with the chemo.
Well, no, you had real cancer, but
not like hardcore cancer that real people suffer from. I had the type of cancer that, like, you know, I was out of it for a while, but they sucked it out of me.
You had the real cancer. Nah. You just found it early.
No,
no, you had,
I had it for a while.
You had cancer.
Yeah, but not like fucking.
That's all that matters is that you had cancer.
Eh. A lot of people have cancer. Ain't nothing special.
Nope. Nope.
Look, making if a big deal. Listen,
if you're in the Army,
uh-huh.
All right, whether you've been to war or haven't, you're in the Army. So when you're at a baseball game and they go, well, all the people on the armed forces stand
I wouldn't
up,
get up.
You get to stand up.
Dude, if I fucking fought Manuel Noriega in Panama with all these Iraqi freedom and Vietnam veterans, I'd fucking stay sitting down.
You're part of the team.
I didn't see the shit.
But you had it.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Here's the thing.
Coast Guard. Here's the thing. Vietnam, man.
You're not the Coast Guard of fucking cancer.
If you.
That's not what this
no,
is.
No, because
yeah,
if
dude,
you.
Like, you're here's right. The thing.
If
all, you're right, Jess.
If all you had to do was take a couple of pills and then it was gone, then. Yeah.
That's essentially what I did.
You had an,
no,
organ,
you had
removed,
an organ removed and you got a giant. A
chunk of lung.
Chunk of lung.
You guys are basket cases.
You got fucking.
Battle scars.
Yeah, battle scars.
Galactica.
You got fucking Bobby Hill on your fucking stomach, like Bobby Hill's face. That's what your stomach looks like.
Yeah. So you're in it, man. You have to stand up during the national anthem. It's that simple.
Well, no, you know, that's, well, not, here's that's the not the same thing.
Here's the thing we should all, here's the thing we should all agree on. I'm not brave. What kind of bravery did it take for me to, like, just get cancer and then get surgery? I didn't do shit.
You could have been a real dick about it.
Yeah.
I've been a real dick about
no.
it.
No, like a real dick.
You could
have, like, meh.
And this was my original thing, my worry from when it started was I hope it didn't, you didn't change because of it.
I totally changed. And I'm you fucking did awesome.
It. You're no, the exactly. Yeah. You're the same.
You're the same.
So had you, then I'd have been like, yeah, you weren't brave. But you were totally brave.
I'm not. Here it is. Watch this. Okay. All right, Regan. You've got a disease.
I'm freaking right. Partying nonstop.
Okay, hold on.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, the disease is gone.
I'll give it back.
It's gone. Are
I
you
want
brave?
A party.
That's how I felt. What a brave.
But do you still get to party just as hard?
No. Well, I mean, yes. You got. Okay, it's just like this. You join the Army or you get drafted. You get drafted in the Army.
Scratch that out. You can go to Google and then Google stage 4 renal cell carcinoma.
And it's like
survival rate.
Big deal, pussy.
Does not say that at
That's
all.
What WebMD says.
That's not what WebMD
pussy,
says.
Pussy.
It might.
WebMD does not say pussy.
Another reason why I feel that way is because the chance of it spreading to my colon and my brain was there and it didn't.
Yeah.
So I was actually relieved with the level of renal cell carcinoma I was at. Because if it had spread, because like if it spread to my liver, fucking liver's SpongeBob SquarePants, man. Do you know that? You could cut off part of your liver and it grows back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
It's like a starfish.
Fucking med students? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Stage 4, 5-year survival rates, 8%.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. 8%. That means it means that 5 years after being diagnosed and having surgery, the percentage rate for lasting 5 years after being diagnosed is 8%.
92% of 92 out of 100 people die.
But I haven't hit 5 years yet, so you think I
if you didn't catch it, you'd have been dead. Like the doctor said, yeah, in 20 months you'd have been dead.
Exactly.
So the fact that they cut it out.
Right.
The fact that they cut it out
at an early stage before it spread, that makes it, that's like you said, if you didn't have that allergic reaction that made you cough blood and had not found it, then this would be a totally different conversation. We might have just been podcasting normally
and
for
then
all
I
we care.
Just died.
And then we would have just got to the point where I feel sick and they go, oh, this is the reason why you're sick because you're going to die in X amount of months. But now it's like, oh, we found this thing. We're going this
route. I would have been the easy E of podcast hosts.
Yeah.
He like we're that. NWA. I saw it straight out of Compton like nine times while I was on bed rest. So you're Dr. Dre. Right?
I'm Dr. Dre?
You're right Dr. Dre.
All right.
You are, let me see, you could either be Ice Cube, MC Ren, DJ Yella. You love pussy. You could be DJ Yella.
I'll be Ice Cube.
But you didn't leave. Joel's Ice Cube.
Joel's
hardcore Ice
Cube.
I'll
be MC Ren.
We'll be Ren?
Sure.
Cool, man. The villain. Fucking ruthless villain, man, right there.
And then you're fucking easy.
I'm fucking easy.
It don't matter. Bitch, don't bite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Real Wisconsin City cheese. So me and my friend used to say it was real motherfucking G's.
Yeah.
And the censored version was real Compton City G's.
Really? Oh, wow. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And then we said real Wisconsin City G's. Isn't that hilarious, man? I've been fucking ratata in the comedy since I was 16. All right. We're really excited about this podcast, man. Our guest is probably the best guest that we've ever had on the show.
Rambo.
That's right. Kicking ass and taking names. He is your worst nightmare. And we love you, mamas. So what are you see? Look, you're so used to me not being here.
Yeah.
Look at that. Shit, man. You know what? Fuck it. What am I even doing here?
That's a good question. What are you doing here?
All right, man.
What would you say you're doing here? All right, Jess, so
I ain't seen shit, man.
It's gonna be quiet though.
Yeah, he just fucking slapped me down.
All right, Jess. So what do you got?
Cares, man.
What do you got for us for today?
Hey, well, first off, it's time for another exciting edition of Yeah, I'm looking to that, a segment where I talk about movies and video games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listeners would be Yeah, I'm looking to that. So this week we're talking about the documentary comedy film entitled Can We Take a Joke? And it is several interviews with various comedians ranging from Penn Jillette, Gilbert Godfrey, Lisa Lampanelli.
I've heard of them.
Jim Norton.
Who's that?
Heather McDonald.
All guests on the podcast while I was gone.
They were not guests on the podcast while you were gone at all. That would have been fun, but they were not guests, sadly. So
you would have wanted.
Yeah, it would have been nice, but I wouldn't have felt bad of having that experience without you here.
All right.
Right. So Can We Take a Joke interviews these comedians and talks about the line of offensiveness crossed when doing comedy and the state of where we're at right now in that situation. Right now, I think in the world of stand-up comedy or maybe even comedy in general, it just seems to be seemingly people are easily more offended about whatever the case may be, like certain topics are taboo. You can't joke about these certain things.
Real quick, did you watch this or no?
No, I haven't seen it. Okay. That's coming up soon. It's actually mid-August, so I guess in a week or so. And certain theaters have it, but we obviously didn't get it. It's just basically interviewing them. Where do comedians stand on when you're going too far? Or is there such a thing as going too far? Or the concept of like, there's no such thing as going too far in the world of comedy because that's what it is. It's comedy. It's all these things that you discuss in a certain lens, and then you get the ability to cross that line. And sometimes crossing that line, it enhances the comedy performance of certain people. They talk about Lenny Bruce.
Is that one Canadian comedian in it who's getting sued by Canada?
No, but I
want to, like, making fun of this disabled boy, and they are actually, like, they won a lawsuit against him.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
For making jokes.
I wonder if, like, because if the movie's coming out now, then it had to have been shot, like, at least, like, a year ago, you would think, before that kind of happened. But that would be kind of a good thing.
I saw some comics talking about that, that they said that the kid was, like, a celebrity, so he was on the news a lot, so he was kind of fair game.
Right.
But it's just one of those things. It's just about bad taste.
Right. And I think it's an interesting climate to have a movie like this come out now, in the sense that not only do you have the comedian things with, I guess, with blogs and a lot of people having a voice through social media with different varying tastes, how easily a bit or a joker can seem out of the set, out of the audience without context and go, well, that upsets me. Yeah. That offends me. That's a horrible thing to say, and not actually be there, or actually just be in the audience as a audience member for a comedy show and then be offended by a comedian's joke. Yeah. But not just be offended by it, but have a call to arms to say, you can't say that, and have a heckler get mad and yell back at a comic and disrupt the flow of their show, like, which happens, you know, where you see stories pop up that a little bit more than before.
Daniel Tosh was a famous one.
Right.
Because this chick wouldn't shut up. And, you know, they tear into hecklers. But he said, I hope you get gang raped.
Right.
And that's where it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, because Daniel Tosh's fans, you know, you never know how crazy they are.
Right, exactly.
They're like Trump fans.
Well, exactly.
Trump's an example.
That is actually the whole point. I was going to get that because I wonder if the movie tackles the whole concept of the comedy arena. That doesn't mean just on stage, but just in the context of comedy. Like, we do this show often, and we're, you know, we don't pride ourselves on being offensive comedians, but we're just inherently offensive comedians, and it's just kind of like what we do. And so, but our show has that kind of tone set every time the show starts, like reading, like, oh shit, like, not even a few minutes in, Larry says something that's ridiculous, but that
I don't know about all that.
The line is set for the rest of the show and the listener to be like, they're on for the rest of the ride. If they're liking the first set of it, then they're on for the rest of the whole thing. And if they don't, they choose to, like, watch something else. But the show is the arena we're allowed to kind of say these things. And it's a comedy show. So I wonder if the documentary tackles about something like where you have a Trump who makes a quote unquote joke and it's not acceptable because he's not in the arena or the place to tell a joke. Like, being a presidential candidate.
Yeah, exactly.
Does that allow him to make a joke about, you know, Second Amendment supporters doing something about it, like, very ambiguous thing? And then, like, is that an appropriate joke? Is he in the comedy arena? Is he in the place to make a joke? I wonder if, like, the movie kind of tackles that kind of aspect, even though it's shot before all this, you know, presidential race is happening. But still, that happens all the time where somebody will say something and it's like, it's not in the comedy arena. Or go back a while back with the PR girl chick who has a PR firm, and she made the tweet about going to Africa. She was going to Africa.
Yeah, hope I and don't then get she goes, AIDS.
How about I don't get AIDS? Oh, I'm white. I don't have to worry about it. And before she landed, she was already like, oh, you're fired.
Yeah.
By the time she got there. And that's the whole thing. It's like, well, if you're a comedian, then you can make a joke like that. But when you're in the PR business, that's not the arena to do AIDS jokes, you know?
Well, I will be looking into it. Like, it'll be interesting to see.
But it's essentially all the people that you would expect to have something to say, like Gilbert Gottfried, who usually kills at the roast, or just in general has that unexpected, like, Gilbert Gottfried, known him for years as being just this loud comedian and kind of blue, but just as of the past decade, just him crossing the line of just
and
decency,
that's the thing,
which is
great. Ryan Stout on, he talked about comedy and we talked about, I just liked something that he says is that when he does his show, he's like, did any of you guys research who I was before coming to this show?
Right.
And he goes, if none of y'all did, then none of you can get upset because you came without knowing what kind of comic I was.
Right.
And so it's like, he's like, you would never just go to a band you've never heard of and spend $18 to see them. But for comedians, people are like, oh, it's going to be, this guy will be funny just like everybody else. It's like, no, that's not how it works.
Well, it's like Maria Bamford not performing like traditional weekends.
Yeah, exactly.
At big comedy clubs because people just go to just see a comedy show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this movie inspires the first topic for the evening, and the topic is, what is your favorite offensive comedy film? And I guess that's kind of specifically going with this movie. It's about comedy. It's about offensive comedy, and it's a film. So I was like, oh, what is your favorite offensive comedy film? Something that crosses the line, that goes places where other things don't, and still is able to maintain a laugh. I'll kick it off. And what I think... it's maybe not my favorite offensive comedy, but I love it telling people about it because of how unique it is. And it's the movie Man Bites Dog. Mm. And Man Bites Dog is like, it's funny because at this point in time, it's not even a comedy anymore. It just turns into this really dark and ugly movie. But I think that's like why it's one of my favorites in terms of like it turning, it's turning that dark comedy thing on the viewer, which has been done in other movies before, but... for people who haven't seen it or heard about it, it's a, is it Belgium?
It's not French? I thought it was straight up French.
It's foreign.
It's foreign, yeah.
Okay.
So, it is a mockumentary following the exploits of a serial killer or a sociopathic killer that cheerfully and gleefully just kills people, and this film crew is following him around capturing his exploits, and it's... right off the bat, ridiculous and fun, and the main character is extremely charismatic and charming and mildly handsome, and he's just a very likable guy. And all the murder that happens early on in the movie is cartoonish. They show him disposing bodies off of this cliff and, like, just haphazardly just this stack of bodies that he's throwing on this, like, edge of a ravine, and they're just kind of piling up and nobody noticing it. And just these ridiculous things, him murdering an old lady. Is it Belgium?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, right. He murders this old lady by just yelling in her ear all of a sudden because she was annoying. And so
they speak French in Belgium.
Yeah, that's really? Why. Yeah, exactly.
That's where Belgium, that's the language.
I have no idea.
So the progression of the film, goes dark because as the movie progresses, you're kind of attached to this man because of how funny it is or how funny the film is and how it's dark, but it's also lighthearted. It's so cartoonish. But then when he starts to kind of say off-the-cuff racist remarks, and they're kind of just subtle, where it's like, oh, that's kind of a racist joke, and then it just turns into just him being a racist, and it's not even a joke. He's just like saying relentlessly racist things, but it's as casual and as anybody racist would, but it goes along with how casually he's murdering people. And then the film goes darker and darker. Yeah, he's a psychopath, and it goes down to kind of like a very Clockwork Orange type of thing where all these guys are having fun, but then you as the viewer are watching them and you're kind of like potentially enjoying the exploits, and then it goes to like a really, really dark place, and then it's not enjoyable for you anymore. Right. But what makes it funny is that even after it goes really dark, it somehow manages to come back up, like to be silly in an almost Spinal Tap thing where they have this ongoing joke where one of the cameramen constantly dies on accident.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of like the homage to Spinal Tap. But it's one of those movies that I think is one of my favorite offensive comedies because it's this good barometer of like other people who watch movies. And it's a funnel of like, I'm not saying if you didn't like the movie makes you feel uncomfortable. It's not like we can't hang or something like that. But if you're talking to people about that movie and they automatically know it and like it, it kind of says, oh, they're open to this type of sense of humor.
They're cool with that stuff.
Yeah, they're cool with that stuff. And it just, and like, it's the, I don't know, it's just a really interesting, I've been in two situations watching that movie where the first time I saw it, I was watching it like at a film club and having half of the people turn on the movie. Like, they just progressively started thinning out the crowd because of how offensive the movie got. And then when the movie was over, the people that I was hanging out with to this day are like some of my greatest friends because that barometer of really dark sense of humor. So Man Bites Dog, I highly recommend going out and getting it. There's a criterion of it. It's pretty dark, but it's very funny and very good.
I think you're going to agree with me on this because my first answer was Orgasmo.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
With Matt Parker and Trey Stone.
Yeah.
I like it better than South Park. I like it better than Team America.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's really funny, really original. You know, the plot of a Mormon guy being this crime fighter and starring in pornos is just, it's so ridiculous. And how the plot, the fake plot in the porno ends up being the real plot of the movie that they're in. I think is fucking hilarious, and
yeah.
stunt cocks and DVDAs and all those references, yeah. are, you know, yeah. I don't mean to say like a fag or nothing, you know, like there's so much quote, you know what, fuck, that's my answer. I like Orgasmo. I think Orgasmo is super clever. It's super funny. Ron fucking Jeremy's in it. You know, all every aspect of the grossest porn, you know, hamster style, and you see the origins of South Park and some of the voices and stuff like that. So I think, you know, I had said it, you know, to a friend of mine that a comedian's like first work, like their first stand-up special or their first film is usually the best because they probably took years and years and years to work on it. Then everything after that, it's good because maybe they got a bigger budget, but at the same time, they don't have the passion and love that they have for the first one. And I know Orgasmo was not their first film, but it's probably their best, and it's really, really fucking funny. So I like
it. Is. And yeah. it's like, how many people have you know seen it that like, oh, I can't watch that? Like, in terms of like,
what kind of what that?
But it's the type of movie that you wouldn't watch in front of people,
right? Exactly. Who, you know yeah. I mean? Yeah, yeah. Not challenging to the me, offensiveness of it, but
you know
yeah.
what you're getting when you even you see read the title.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's freaking hilarious. Mine, I was going to say like any of their movie, in all honesty, because I was going to, I would say South Park, was a little bit to me, as far as offensive meter sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that was probably the most, and they got away with so much because it was a cartoon and a musical.
Right.
Right.
Which was nominated for an Oscar.
And it's like, shut your effing face. Uncle,
shut your fucking face, you
uncle. Like just the most absurd songs, lyrics, plot. They added in religion and devil and Saddam Hussein.
A poster of Skeet Ulrich.
I mean, it was so good, and they get away with so much. But I was gonna say, Orgasmo's awesome. Friggin' even the Cannibal Musical's fantastic. And like you
funny.
Say, like judging by their first work, you can see that that's what they've always wanted to do. On this past November, I was able to see Book of Mormon, which, you know, full circle. They started off as a musical. They end, not that they end, but their biggest, they freaking went in Tonys and stuff for a musical that they were, as far as legitimacy. They've been nominated for Oscars for their music. So all of their stuff, and good Lord, Book of Mormon's, so good and offensive and fantastic. So pretty much Trey Parker, Matt Stone, library, because Team America's fantastic too. Yeah. Like,
and man, the thing too, because like when South Park first came out, I didn't think highly of it because I just thought it was like the gimmick of it was kids who are cussing, and that was like that was the end of it. That was as far as like the first season of South Park for me. I watched it and I liked it, but I wasn't a big fan of it compared to other animation at the time, which would be like Beavis and Butthead, because I was already a Mike Judge fan,
right.
which is at its root also just crude and stupid, but Ren and Stimpy, because I was an animation fan liking that as well. And South Park to me was like, well, it's just little children cussing, and that's about as far as it goes. But the evolution of that show, again, going back to seeing Cannibal the Musical after seeing South Park, and then seeing their work progress in all the movies that they did, to where everything progressively in their style is just getting sharper and funnier, and again, consistently like horribly offensive, but it just does it just right. Where it's just
even in Team America, they have the actor starts off in the musical that's everybody's got AIDS. Like, that's a song. It's so good. Making fun of Rent.
Yeah, exactly.
Friggin' just so good.
I liked it. There was a behind the scenes interview with them, and they had like this award winning cinematographer who did Team America, and he said, Matt and Trey kept cracking up laughing at the fact that he was taking it so seriously watching two marionettes fuck.
Bill Pope.
Yeah.
He shot The Matrix and shot like other action films and his first two Spider-Man movies.
Also why that movie's amazing. It's just shot beautifully. You forget after watching while you're halfway into that movie that, wait, you're watching puppets.
Yeah.
Right. Because of how good of a job he does.
And occasionally, and it does just the right amount of times, the puppet gag.
Yeah.
Because the whole movie's shot legitimately, but every once in a while it's going to do a stupid puppet gag.
Like the dancing.
The
fucking scene's the best.
Right, yeah.
Anyway,
which is funny.
So pretty much like all their stuff is just fantastic. God bless them. I'm glad they exist.
I'm going to wait for the answers so I can give my second answer.
All right. Yeah. I'll
say so Facebook answers.
Facebooks.
Victoria Acevedo says Blazing Saddles for sure.
Right.
That was offensive back then.
Yeah. At that time, dude, that's a freaking wicked offensive.
Pussy shit now.
Alex.
What's funny because people still pussy shit. There's still this element of like, well, people will say no one can make a movie like that now anymore. But I think when they do, which would be like, what's his name? Seth MacFarlane's, you know, Western thing, I think is kind of the similar playground, but it's like, it's just like,
I like that movie. It had
The Thousand Ways to
Die in the West. Yeah. That had a really solid plot. And I was really surprised at how solid the plot was.
I never saw it.
Yeah. It's good.
Rafael Molina says Hobo with a Shotgun.
Oh yeah. Good answer.
All right.
Yeah.
Ernie Enriquez says hard to pick one, but Happiness. 1998 film.
Happiness
his first to pop
is
that's
super
a,
offensive.
Yeah. It's creepy.
I can't watch a movie.
Yeah. Brian Benitez says The Accused.
Well,
is that offensive?
Well, it's not a comedy.
Well, it said comedy or other film, right?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't even see the how you posted it.
I gave people the option.
Oh, okay.
Travis
Cage
says Animal House. Animal House, although I think it only offended yuppies. Gabriel Diaz says Kung Pao. It was unfunny, too offensive. Honorable mention, Rocky. I like it, but he's super rapey and creepy to Adrian.
Well, forward.
That's it's 70s forward. Forward.
That's 70s forward. Like, hey, come to my apartment. You can't leave.
That's post 9/11 rapey.
Got it. Right. Because Anthony Michael Hall date raped the chick in 16 Candles.
Oh, yeah.
Like, straight up.
You can't get away with that. Zachary Forte-Scom says anything involving Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Right.
Absolutely,
yeah, absolutely.
Zach. Their wit is legendary. Best is probably South Park, bigger, longer, uncut. Awesome. The devil being in love with Saddam Hussein is priceless. It is. And he whips his dick out.
Yeah.
Or does he?
Oh, come on, guys.
Hector Bohorica says Pink Flamingos.
Yeah.
Trash. Best ever. Yeah, Pink Flamingos. Ooh.
Yeah, John Waters, man.
Alfred Perez says, I really love Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yeah.
It's also a good one.
Yeah.
John Flores says, Monty Python's The Meaning of Life. Doesn't get much better.
Yeah.
Very true. Carlos Castro, South Park, the movie. Santos Juantes says, Meet the Feebles still amazes me.
Yeah, so that's I've still never seen it.
All right. Hey. Andrew Thomas says, I really like Undercover Brother since no one said it. So really bad some really bad stereotypes in that.
That's funny. More mayonnaise, please.
Santos Juantes says, Clerks, I guess at the time was considered offensive. Now that's just the internet.
Noige.
Yeah.
Samantha Lines Reek says, Monty Python's Life of Brian. RTB says, Team America.
Yeah.
Casey Johnson says Soul Man equals white chicks. Just a statement. Yeah. White chicks. Good
white
Lord.
Chicks. Too,
I've seen that one.
Hot, dude.
Judson Cooper says Black Dynamite. Though it's more of a spoof than offensive, it has its awesome blaxploitation moments.
Oh, man. Black Dynamite's great.
And Susie Hamilton says white chicks?
White chicks.
Yeah. White chicks is awful.
Shout out to John Waters. And my second answer was specifically this one, Jackass 2.
Okay.
Guilty pleasure fan of Jackass. I think Jess, you can say
absolutely. Yes, I'm a Jackass fan.
I think Jackass 2 was the pinnacle, was their peak. I think it was their greatest.
Right.
I think the budget was high and the creativity was there.
The crazy, we have the money to do this shit type of stuff.
Yeah. And my favorite fucking prank was when they got the dude from Super Troopers to play the cabbie and fucking grab himself.
Because it's a douche. It was a douchey prank to begin with. It was a shitty, stupid,
triple full,
shitty bullshit prank. And then they fucking totally
made
that dude eat shit.
And then they also fucking cut all their pubes off to make his beard.
Yeah.
It was the fucking most brilliant prank I had ever seen. If you don't know what we're talking about, look it up. It's probably on YouTube.
Yeah. All that stuff is great and funny on its own, but to me, what makes it great is that it's because the foundation of the prank within a prank was so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And like low, like that would have been low level early Jackass stuff.
Let's pretend we're a terrorist.
Jackass knockoff pranks.
Yeah.
And this guy did that and they're like, oh, well, let's up it and do this way better
edit,
fucking thing.
Kick him while he's down. Oh, and by the way, we all shaved our views. <this way. laughs>
Yeah, that's pretty good. So, can we take a joke? Like, I'm really interested in seeing what these comedians say. I mean, it's all pretty much predictable, you know, what comedians have to say about crossing the line, because a lot of comedians in general, whether they're clean or dirty, usually have kind of the viewpoint of that there's no line to cross on the stage when you're in comedy. If you're providing the context and you provide the jokes in the arena that you're telling a joke or that you're safe, then the line isn't crossed. But it'd be, you know, again, that whole viewpoint, like when a heckler attacks you and then like, oh, if you get gang raped in the street, well, is that a joke anymore? Or you're just kind of angrily spouting. That's on the level of,
Donald Trump.
Well, not Donald Trump, but, fucking and Kramer.
Yeah. Shouting the N-word.
Shouting the N-word at that guy in his mind as I'm kind of reversing this joke or this side by sense of humor. And I'm like, oh, I know what he's trying to do, but he's, for, like, it's not working, and it's horrible and it sucks, and so it's that same line. So it'd be interesting to see if those actual incidences are covered in Can We Take a Joke. So Can We Take a Joke, yeah, I'm gonna look into that.
And now once again it's time for another edition of Dad's Cornered.
Yeah.
Taking risks on Daddy's Corner, with the miser and
Jeff. Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch.
That's right. We are back.
Oh, and yeah.
I know. Have you guys had kids since I've been gone?
No. No, I have not.
Nope.
Nope. Nope.
Nope.
Just cream pie in it? Nothing? Just
fucking.
Yeah.
Making deposits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just trusting that. That pills will work.
And gravity?
Just pills. Medical, the best that medical science has to offer.
Man, good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in this edition of Dad's Cornered, I ask, describe your 15 minutes of fame. Because, like I said earlier, cancer is the best thing that ever happened to me. Because, holy
shit. My agent asked me, like, when did you really start meteorically rising to the top?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you when I got tumors. So yeah, been getting a lot of attention, a lot of media attention since the cancer, and I'm hoping that the podcast with Jay announcing the cancer and this podcast will be the only times we talk about cancer on the podcast. I would hate for that to, you know, eclipse anything that
right.
The,
well, there
the
goes my answer. There goes my hey, that's not funny topics for the next 6 weeks.
No, but that's all right. It's cancer in general.
You know how much
fine.
Research is done on cancer? In these
not
articles?
That much.
No, you should see. Actually, there's a lot.
Yeah. I still, another thing I wanted to say, don't even know 100% if I actually did have cancer or if this was just a hospital trying to get money out of me.
Oh, yo, conspiracy theory, son.
Yeah. I mean, who's to say? I mean, I was losing weight and shit.
Yeah, but that's maybe you were just being really healthy, but they just told you that to make you think that it was.
Right.
Fuck, because I'm the one telling them my symptoms.
They made a surgically precision incision and said they took out elements of your body.
Yeah, but I feel fine, babe.
Yeah, exactly. Explain that.
Yeah, I don't feel fine.
Well, because you got, you know. Because
they cut you up.
Cut you up.
Yeah, good point. So yeah, and you know, there's times where I think I'm like the Truman Show or Ed TV, where you know maybe there's a big old television. Me, cancer isn't a real thing; it's just a way to keep me in
maybe
San Antonio.
Maybe there's a camera filming you live,
right,
and broadcasting it on Facebook.
Oh man, they're watching me make 7-layer dips.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gross. But maybe that's a normal thing. But I was taught to be ashamed of it, just to study, like, you know, how people react being a, you know,
it's a taboo shame. Study because when things are normal and you're giving people normal things to do, they feel satisfaction when they do things out of the norm, that breaking the guilt thing makes them feel better.
Cause I and bet it's you just, it's not normal to have sex with just one person. I'm just a study.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's probably true.
You're the only person doing it.
I bet you I am, dude. I'm a fool. So.
Two words, dark net.
Yeah, dude. Look, but my dark net would be blocked.
No, your dark net would be a fake dark net, making you think the dark net was a dark net, but it's not the dark net.
Because maybe eating people's fine, too.
Yeah.
And I'm just taught, like, you know, it's taboo to see how far my curiosity will get me to eat somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
You're in Truman Show, bro.
I am. Fucking Larry TV. Maybe.
Larry TV.
Larry TV, dude. Anyway, so. I've had some pretty big attention. Some idols relatives have reached out to me, which has been, in my opinion, one of the best help. Big fan of Ron Schock, who passed away of cancer a few years back, and his lovely wife, Rhonda, reached out to me, but not only reached out to me, but reached out to Andy, which I thought was really, really classy, just to tell her, I know what you're going through, and, you know, you helped her out. And so, Rhonda, if you're listening, I love you. Thank you very much. And Steve Hicks, brother of Bill Hicks, one of our idols, one of our comedic idols, who also passed away of cancer, he's also been reaching out, and he's been just awesome. Said, you know, may move back to Texas, is going to look me up. And if I fucking meet Steve Hicks, dude, I will fucking freak out.
Yeah.
So that's been pretty cool. That's all been just because of the cancer.
Right.
There's no other reason besides that.
Nerdist shout out.
Nerdist, thank you, Jess. I almost forgot about that. Shout out on the Nerdist podcast, Chris Hardwick himself, pushing the GoFundMe, which was really, 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 really awesome. And there's just been, you know, a lot of stuff, a lot of shout outs from the local celebs. The comedy community has been really great. My friends and family have been really, really awesome. Stay tuned because Michael Botsford, a friend of ours that went to SAC, has been producing a short, like a documentary piece on everything going on. And that's been a really interesting challenge because, you know, he wanted to be there during the surgeries and I was kind of writing off on it, but because it's University Hospital, you know, there's a lot, well, any hospital really, there's a lot of red tape, even if I, you know, signed off on it. And I think it made me realize, and this wasn't why, it had all to do with my privacy and my doctor, Dr. Kaushik, my urologist, was a fucking amazing guy. You know, it was just like, I don't want this to be a reality show. I don't want this, you know, to be an advertisement for me. You know, I don't want, you know, a lot of other doctors would see it like that. My doctor's a fucking badass. And he goes, I'd rather just concentrate on you and not have anybody feel that they can't be themselves because the camera's around. Respected it, didn't do it. And he also said, I'd rather, you know, videotape a victory, you know, a survival story. That's the story I want to tell.
Yeah.
So when, you know, everything came back okay, Dr. Kaushik said, well, I got to, you know, agree to what I said. So I'll do the interview for you, Mr. Garza, cool. If you want. So Bots was able to interview my doctor and he was able to interview us
right
before the surgery. So I'm really, really excited to see.
He interviewed us after the surgery. So we probably said some pretty unsavory things in Fort Worth.
Yeah. Sorry, man. Hopefully he cuts a lot of that stuff.
I just talked a bunch of shit, I think, but.
Well, that's fine, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I know how you really feel. Well, I mean, I heard the podcast. I heard every inch.
You know what they say?
Well, you heard like one third of the inch. You only heard one of the podcasts.
Man. You heard them all. Yeah. You never know.
You probably didn't even finish the first one.
Watch.
Mm. Lies don't hurt.
Yeah. Dirt don't hurt either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. And I just recently got a lot of attention because our buddy Kiko Martinez, writer for the San Antonio Current, did a story on me, interviewed you guys as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the story made the fucking cover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's been something I've been trying to get for us, Comedia Go-Go, since the break of dawn. And, you know, the Current's done quite a few stories on us, and I've had my differences with the Current in the past. But, you know, that was a bucket list item, dream come true. Empire Theater, bucket list item, dream come true. It's just, you know, it took cancer to get the cover, but fuck it. You know, whatever it takes to bring a spotlight to the San Antonio comedy scene, if it took me getting cancer, then fucking A. I want people to know who we are and what we do and what we've been doing. And so they can just kind of realize that there's something fucking cool here. You know, that our listener base, I love all of you guys as much shit as I talk, you know, and if you're not from San Antonio, I love you very, very much. Fucking tell people about us. And if you are from San Antonio, spread the goddamn word.
Us. Yeah.
You know, there's shit going on in this city, man, and it's fun and it's cool. So it's been a lot of attention and really big attention that I turned down.
Right.
Because I didn't want stuff because of the cancer. I wanted stuff out of validity.
Yeah, but still.
I don't know, man.
I mean, yeah, you're the one, you're the decision maker on that. But yeah, it's all the same time about you trying to direct the narrative as much as you can. Like the Current article, talks about your overcoming of cancer, but it also deals greatly about what you've been doing.
Yes.
For a great deal of time.
And I want to kiss Kiko in the mouth because he really said what I wanted to say.
Right.
And that's what I thought was great. It's like, yeah, the story's about cancer. He talks about the cancer, talks about how I handled it fine, but he made sure to include that that's not what I want to be defined as.
Right.
You know, I've told, you know, people have asked me, pretty famous people that I won't name have told me to take advantage of it and to be the cancer comic. And I'm like, no, dude, like I'm not fucking going to do that. And
right.
Those same type of people, not those exact same people, are also the same ones to tell me to, you know, really pursue my uncle's career.
Yeah, I mean.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that either.
Right.
But, you know, because I know that's, I wouldn't be happy.
Yeah.
You know, so my 15 minutes has been because of the cancer, but it wasn't, if I was just a guy with cancer, I wouldn't have 15 minutes. It was a combination.
Right.
As the seven herbs and spices.
Right. Yeah, yeah. If you, I mean, lots of people get cancer, but not lots of people with cancer get the cover of The Current.
Exactly. So I'm very humbled. I'm very honored. And I get it. You know what I mean? And
you get it.
I get it. I'm not completely obtuse to
right.
what it is, but so I accept it. I appreciate it and I acknowledge it. And if this is the, you know, the peak, I'm going to try for it not to be.
Right.
But if it is, it's been pretty cool. So happy to be alive.
Right.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Be alive, hang out with you guys. Fucking watch some movies, dude.
Yeah. Fucking watch some movies, man. Yeah.
I'm serious, too. I am not flaking out on that.
Yeah.
You just got to deal with the kids.
Ugh.
I know.
No, it's gotta be, no, that's the whole thing. That's the find the balance of find the movies that are cool, but something that's going to be fine for the kids to be around.
Like the kids watch Kung Fu Hustle?
Yeah. So it's like it pretty much opens up a lot of possibilities.
Yeah,
all Stephen Chow movies. We can just do that.
Yeah, I haven't seen the
we haven't, actually, have the, y'all seen The Mermaid? So we can watch
no,
that together.
No, that's what I'm saying. Mermaid.
We can watch Mermaid.
What's the previous one with the robot toy?
Oh, that's
CJ
old.
Seven.
CJ7.
I've never seen that.
Shaolin Soccer.
You've seen Shaolin Soccer, though.
I've seen the kids.
Because I haven't.
Oh, okay.
The Wild West one. Not the Wild West one. The one.
Yeah, the Journey Beyond the West.
Yeah, that's freaking great. That's such a good. It's awesome.
Let's
Any
do
of those
it.
Movies. The Raid 2.
We can't watch the Raid 2 with the kids around.
Oh, wait, Thomas J. Henry? Is he in the Raid 2?
No, he's not. No, actually, he is in the Raid 2. Yes, he is.
Fucking hey, Thomas J. Henry.
But yeah, the Raid 2, we can't watch the kids around. Ip Man 2.
Nah.
Yeah, we could.
I wouldn't
maybe. Yeah, I wouldn't want the kids to see that. Yeah, either.
Is it sexual stuff?
No,
I'm a big hypocrite with violence.
No. That's what the Raid 2. Yes, but Ip Man 2. No, but it's just heavy.
So wait, okay, I get it. Well, you got to remember, Nemo's mom gets
right,
and his fucking whole, you know, brothers and sisters get rowdied. You know, Bambi's mom, fucking Lee Harvey'd. Like
Lee Harvey'd.
Yeah.
Yeah. They get Tulsa, Oklahoma or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a video of some cop shooting a fucking deer in the street.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the heavy factor as far as family and stuff, but at the same time, I'm not going to let them watch Mad Max Fury Road. You know,
Fury Road.
Because that one dude rips out the baby and just like throws it on the ground. That part's pretty gnarly.
That is
awesome.
And then, other than that, just a chase scene.
Yeah.
Get over it, Oscars.
Movie's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
So, that's also my answer.
Fury Road?
Yeah. My 15 minutes of fame was when I was...
on the cover of The Current.
Yeah.
Man, that's not 15 minutes. That's a week long, man. Because the issue came out yesterday.
Yeah.
It's going to be out all for the rest of the weekend.
15 minutes.
People getting a sandwich. Like, oh, what's this blue clown on the cover? Let me read about it.
Yeah, it looks cool.
It's cool.
Just a freaking cool looking.
Oh, wow, he's got videos. Let's check it out.
Shout out to
Dick Licker.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God, yes.
What's going to happen? That fucking video is public.
Yeah, man. You saying Dick Licker is like my, like introducing people to Man Bites Dog.
Yeah.
It's what I do.
Coming on turds.
Yeah.
What I do. That's right. Welcome to the jungle, baby. Yeah, you see that some teenager.
And that's 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's why it's 15 minutes and not the week.
Because I cut it out. I don't want those fans anyway.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
We want people who will laugh at Dick Licker and coming on turds.
And well, if maybe like they don't have to laugh, but just be like, oh, I'll stick around for the next one.
Yeah.
Like for the next thing and then wait and wait it out and enjoy themselves beyond dick liquor.
Because I got some family shit, man.
No, yeah, you got some family shit.
Talk
about
my fucking family.
This is Dad's Corner. We got some family shit.
Dad's
Corner,
man.
This is Dad's Ass Corner. Yeah.
Yeah, Slipknot's coming to town. Oh, this cancer guy.
That dude died in Suicide Squad. Spoiler alert.
Jin. Oh, what?
15 minutes of fame. I don't know. Yeah, like, what was the...
When you were famous.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got your answer.
Who?
Fucking Lunchtime Crunch, dude. No. You were everywhere.
Yeah, but like, well, okay, but I'll that say didn't my, define my, him. No, though.
It doesn't define him for me. Okay, that's all no,
I'll take that answer, but I'm going to make it a little bit broader. So it'll be 15 minutes. Is the stint where I was doing a lot of vocal work on the radio and TV, to where I was, my voice could be heard on a bunch of different radio stations, on commercials, and on TV as well. I guess that was kind of neat. People hearing and hearing my own voice.
Yeah,
was kind of neat.
You're Danny Green's burger.
That's another thing.
Is that yet?
I saw it. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay, awesome. Okay.
I fucking cracked up laughing because it's exactly what I thought it was going to be.
I need to see it then.
Wait, I haven't seen it?
I played it during a Spurs game last year.
Oh, that's fucking awesome. Well, to give listeners the idea
with the trash can.
Yeah,
too.
to give listeners the idea of what we're talking about, Regan did a voiceover for Danny Green. One of the players for Spurs.
BurgerFi.
At BurgerFi, Regan's the voice of Danny Green's hamburger.
And BurgerFi isn't a Wi-Fi with burgers. It's a burger restaurant.
Like BurgerFi.
Like, I'm going to BurgerFi that burger.
Yeah, I'm going to BurgerFi that burger. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I guess I would say my 15 minutes. I guess a lot of people were like, hey, I heard your voice. Hey, I heard your voice. Hey, I heard your voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, sure. I'll go with that one.
Okay.
I was heard all over the city of San Antonio. My wonderful voice, my great communication skills.
Okay, time out. Here we go.
Danny Green, number 14. Hey, man, we got to talk. Yo, no one else can hear. Look, I just want to let you know I can help you.
Help?
It's your game, man. I need you dunking this season.
Dunking?
You got a great shot, just like I got the best taste, but we ain't seen enough of your hops. I mean, what if I was just a bruising, boring, three-point shooting burger patty, huh? I already got that burger fight sauce dunk in my game. What about you? Fine. Dunk me. Just that's it right there, Danny. Dunk me, baby.
Oh, wow. I've never even seen those things.
Yeah. Danny Green eats Regan's meat.
Eats Regan's meat.
He's
eating Regan.
Eating out Regan.
Oh. Danny Green's eating me. Yeah, so that was fun. It was always fun.
You can go to Danny Green and go, we've been together. Like, just really weird.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
We've been together before.
I was the talking burger.
I was in your mouth.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Danny Green.
Yeah.
Spurs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sure. There. That's my 15 minutes.
My 15 minutes /5 minutes of fame was actually pretty cool. It's not what you think, actually, Larry. This actually is something else that is like a personal 5 minutes of fame that I thought was very funny. So back in the day, we did Sam's Burger Joint sketch shows, but we also had a public access show that was the talk of the young kids' town. People saw it, so it was kind of neat. So I was in an HEB. This is hilarious. I was in an HEB shopping, and a couple of our fans/friends were employees there, and they were spreading the gospel of Comedia Go-Go to their coworkers and their actual fellow students and all that kind of good stuff. And so I was leaving the HEB with two of my lady friends who we just happened to be at HEB getting snacks. Yeah. And this dude, this guy who was wrangling up baskets for the HEB, ran over to me.
Yeah.
Like, ran over. Like, he ran from the baskets and said, like, one of the funniest things I've ever heard someone say to me, hey, are you Jess Castro? Because that's a hilarious thing to have somebody yell to you, like, randomly, like, they know your full name. And, like, not are you Jess from Comedia Go-Go, are you that guy? This motherfucker goes, are you Jess Castro?
Yeah, Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, yeah, Jess Castro.
Yeah, and I said, yeah, and I'm Jess Castro, like, baffled. And then this guy just gushed over the Sam show, and he gushed over the public access. Oh, no, not public access. our public access show, but it wasn't called public access. It was on public access. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I watch your show all the time. I went to two of your shows with my friends. It was hilarious and blah, blah, blah. And he started to go into great detail about the, you know, the sketches that I did and like, oh, the Memento 2. That's one of my favorite movies. And so you did this sequel and it was hilarious. And oh, I just want to say, oh, like, I just, oh man, I just, that's awesome. I'm a big fan. I'm a huge fan, and shook my hand and was genuinely starstruck. I kind of first thought like, oh, they must have put him up to this because like, like, why would anyone like,
sorry to tell you, Jess, years later, but yeah, me and Larry paid that guy.
Nope, to, no, that's a lie. It turned, that guy ended up being Sum 41. The lead singer from Sum 41.
Oh yeah, sure.
Married Avril Lavigne.
Maybe he did.
But
it was super like, but it was a hilarious kind of situation because I was side by side by essentially two chicks, like, which I thought was kind of funny that weren't family per se, but I was walking with a chick to my left and a chick to my
typical
right.
Typical Jess Castro.
Yeah, and I'm just walking from an HEB with fucking Snacks and Jackson. And then this dude runs up and says, are you Jess Castro? So it was this small element of like, hey, like this guy recognized me out of the blue. I've never seen this person or recognize this person.
And he got shouted four my full titties name. With you.
Yeah. And then the thing that made it, well, here's the thing, dude, that really, the side the thing go with is that on the public access show and the Sam show, Larry and Regan multiple times put my name out in full. It wasn't just Jess. It was Jess Castro. But it wasn't just my name. It was my fucking home address that was hidden in the sketches or blurted out loud on stage,
your
full
phone,
address
with
and my phone number with my zip code.
Which is still your fucking phone number to this day.
Yeah,
we had a sketch and Regan did the graphics for it and I watched it and I didn't realize until after they were out for like a week that that was my fucking phone number on them.
And I made the shirt with your social and your
my
driver's license.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, so my fucking identity was on a t-shirt. It was auctioned off of one of the things we had. So it was around that time that happened. So it was kind of funny. Like at first I was like, oh, this dude ran up to me, had said my full name. I was like, well, how else would he know me when these fucking dickheads continuously say my name in full with my goddamn address and my goddamn driver's license?
Because you're Jess Castro, man.
You're Jess Castro, dude. It rolls off the
tongue. I have an aunt that refers to you as Jess Castro.
Everyone refers to I got to get the kids to start referring you to Jess Castro.
Jess is fine.
But on that note, I did have a guy in Walmart around my family, and Mikey was little around that time, go, hey, you're Beto Pendejo.
Yeah.
Real loud. And I was just like, yeah, that's me. Fucking A. Before cell phone photos.
Yeah, exactly.
You would have been selfie gods at those times, bro.
Right.
Yeah, right. We're on TV, man.
Oh, you're the ejaculator.
Hey. You're running for office.
We were the ejaculator.
Yeah, I was on TV as Mr. Money, but
fuck yeah, you were.
Yeah, but no, that didn't beat the guy running up to me blindly shouting my name with two chicks.
Yeah,
yeah. Just for a second, for a hot second, I was like, yeah, I'm a deal.
All right, Facebook comments. Ernie Enriquez says, I've had like 3 to 5 minutes of fame, not my 15 minutes yet. All right, that still counts. What was it? Travis K says, I've been on the news, had a cameo in a documentary on a cancer awareness video for the CTRC at work. But none of those things compare to getting to be on public access number 136.
Yeah.
Laughing till I cried with Larry, Regan, and Jess. It's the absolute truth and something I will never forget. Thanks, guys.
It was a great time, man. Look at him fuck.
Yeah, get over it, man.
Yeah. God damn it.
That was just a Thursday to us, bro. Larry, you're a dick.
Well, what number was it? Yeah.
136.
Number 555.
Just like
that's
that.
Why you
sound just like him, Larry.
Travis's
that was it.
Favorite.
That was it right there. That was exactly the moment that the, you know, he came on.
Here you go.
Had a good time.
Gabriel Diaz here, Larry.
Larry, mijo.
You know, he's your favorite.
What are you going to say?
He says,
go ahead.
His favorite, his 15 moments of fame was, I was recently an extra in a short movie, not necessarily 15 minutes, but I'm sure the back of my head has had its moment to shine.
Didn't you just read what fucking Travis wrote?
No.
Huh? Did you just read that? Wow.
Wow. Yep. Disowned.
Exactly. Yeah. Gabriel Diaz. He was care less that he was on public access.
No, in the back of his head in a short film.
Gave a fuck about
more important
access.
Than
more
being
important
on public
than
access.
Being with you fucking goddamn yes. egomaniac.
See Travis? Yes. See Travis? Not that big of a deal. It's all right, Mijo. I'm proud of you.
Alfred Perez says, I have never had a moment of fame or public recognition, at least not yet. See? Work on it.
You've been fucking printed, Freddie.
Yeah, but he hasn't had that moment. He hasn't felt like, I think of all of our things, it's people coming up to you and saying like, hey, I know you from
X. I know you from this particular thing.
JT Street, who's a fucking TV personality, gushed at Freddie.
Yeah, but I get it.
Freddie, you're famous.
Okay. Zachary Fortes Gum. Says, not sure if this counts, but I recently had a fan of my show who had his whole Facebook decked out with our art. It was pretty cool.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
And dude, your show rocks. It's cool. It's great and solid.
Oh, Zachary, I haven't heard it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, catch up on it. It's
I'll listen to it.
It's excellent.
I'll listen to it tomorrow. I promise.
Fuck yeah, man.
Larry will not.
Larry will never fucking listen to it.
He doesn't even listen to our stuff.
Fuck.
But I'll listen to it for him, and I'll tell you it's a good show.
I'm going to listen to it tomorrow because I'm off.
Big fan.
Kiko Martinez says,
you're a big fan?
Huh?
Kiko Martinez says, I was tricked onto a VH1 hidden camera reality show circa 2003. You'll never find the footage, so don't even try.
Yeah, Kiko, I love you, man. Thank you for everything.
Charles Gomez says, in first grade, I made a plexiglass box with two holes and glued some medical gloves in the holes and created a no-tier onion cutter for our school's invention convention. It won first prize, was on the news and the Express News and the Southside Reporter. Damn!
Yeah, trifecta. Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah. I got an all-tier turd cutter.
Oh, God.
Andrew Thomas. That's my asshole, dude.
Yeah.
Andrew Thomas says, I'm still waiting.
Natural Play-Doh factory is what it is.
Brown stars made all day.
Almighty. Andrew Thomas says, I'm still waiting for the world to recognize everything I do for it. Nope, not going to happen, Andrew.
Yeah.
Shut up.
It's a fucking dog-eat-dog world. And
you gotta hustle, Andrew. That's what it takes.
We're the white turds just waiting to be picked up.
Yeah, you got to hustle, Andrew. I don't know what that means. Josh Pullen says, the back of my head was in something here. Kind of cool that it was on Showtime, the movie channel on Netflix. I think it's still streaming. What is it called? What's it called, Josh? Where's the back of your head?
Oh, it's the Heroes thing.
The Wounded Heroes movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Rock on.
Charles Hanks.
Does he put that in his credits on his comedy flyers?
He should.
He
should say, as seen on Showtime, Netflix, and the movie channel.
No one has to know. It's a bold-faced lie.
And if he has been seen on those things.
Yeah.
Charles,
I didn't have like cancer.
Exactly. Charles Hanks says, I thought it was my radio gig, but probably being on y'all's podcast.
Yeah, you hear that, Gabriel Diaz? He's a fucking radio disc jockey.
He's a fucking radio personality.
That gets recognized all the time, and his 15 minutes was being on our podcast, Gabriel. You fucking, wow, man.
And he's a radio DJ. Like, he's on the radio. Carlos Castro says, being in Fighting Fist Force 4.
Wow, that was pretty brutal. That was awesome.
Google
dude.
It, everybody.
Yeah.
Hear that, Gaby Baby?
And public access.
Yeah.
It was great to have so many fans. Okay, some. Fine. Just Travis K. Carlos, you did a great job in Fighting Fist Force 4.
He did a wonderful job in Fighting Fist Force 4.
Google it now, people. Fighting Fist Force 4.
I shared it. Everything I share.
Yeah.
Hundreds of likes.
Share that.
Four likes.
I regret the one that's online because that's like the first cut I had. It's like, to me, just cumbersome and slow. No, I have a much shorter, quicker
fucking
version.
Fucking hilarious.
But it's still pretty fun.
I saw
fun.
It today because I was watching Bloodsport.
Yeah.
Ryan Timothy Bray says, don't think it's happened yet, but I'm waiting. I can't wait to sell out. You're going to get famous for falling into boxes.
Yeah.
Justin Cooper.
It's a good gig.
My comments being read on public access. Other than that, my 15 minutes has yet to come. And Susie Hamilton says, I know I haven't reached it yet because I've never received a random dick pic.
That's how you know.
Are you aching for bacon?
Larry will send you one.
Is she hinting?
No. That's not an invitation.
You can comment.
Are we sure?
That's not an invitation.
Larry, you can
Susie
comment
Hamilton
on it.
Every time we talk, her and Dez are talking about that they didn't make it because they didn't get dick pics. And I'm like, I have a camera and a dick. But it's like, I just want to do him a solid.
No, don't.
Do him a solid.
No, don't.
But see, if I...
No.
But
because she keeps saying, "Oh, I'll be so happy."
But she's, well, not, she's not saying.
But she wouldn't be happy.
She's not saying she should be happy. She's saying that she hadn't made it yet. It's like the whole "I have a hater now I'm famous" type of thing.
Oh, okay. But then she can feel famous because me, my dick cures all.
Susie Hamilton's a star in my eyes.
She is.
Yeah.
Do I want her to see my dick?
God damn it. Wow.
It's not like that. I respect Susie.
Right.
But she's the one aching.
No, this is not.
She keeps putting it out there, man.
No, it's not what's happening.
She keeps putting it out there. So no. You can't say it's uninvited.
You can't say it's uninvited.
She's fucking saying, yeah. You can say,
like, I've never been in a fight doesn't mean I want to be in a fight.
Have you guys seen my dick?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we all
so are. Equal opportunity. It's not a sexist or misogynistic thing. She's a friend like
here's
you guys
the thing.
Are.
You haven't sent us a dick pic. That's the difference.
No, that's true. Right now. I don't want to see a picture of
you. I'm not opening any messages
dirty
from
dick.
You now.
Dirty? Dude, they shaved
but to be
me
fair,
down
we,
there, bro.
But to be
for
fair.
For the kidney surgery?
However, ooh, but to be fair, we've sent each other dick pics, just not our dicks.
Yeah. Okay, so then I should send her someone else's dick?
That would be a little bit like it'd be kind
okay,
of...
Regan, take a picture of my dick and send it to Susie.
No, that's not how it works. No, that's
no, I
not
get you me. Though. Yeah, if you just send her a random one,
yeah.
Then it's best of both worlds.
But then if you send her a random one and it's just randomly my dick,
no, that's not.
No, because I can't honestly say I don't know whose dick that is.
I'll all right, how about this?
You send.
I'll send you a dick pic and say, "Hey, look, I found this guy's dick because I'm a guy." Dunzo.
We're gonna know it's your dick because your fucking hairy legs and shit.
They're not hairy right now. I'm still stripper stubble.
Oh, okay.
Because of the surgery. So yeah, man.
Just snuffle up, I guess.
Exactly. Snuggle up on this, right, guys?
Yeah.
Right, dude. Yeah.
Donald, goddamn it! Right on top of the goddamn trail mix.
That was your perfect mic drop.
There it is. So what the fuck happened? What's going on?
Yeah, man. So raise your kids in the spotlight.
That's fucking Aesop's fable right
that's
there.
That's right. Aesop Rocky, baby. I love bad bitches. That's my fucking problem.
It's the worst topic ever.
Yeah, man. So I'm famous now.
Like I had cancer, but before it ends over, let me send my friend a dick pic. Let me send a picture, a friend of mine, a picture of my dick.
A friend of mine that I respect.
Right.
Because she's asking for it. Would
she's
I do
not,
it?
No, that's
no,
not even
I don't mean asking for it like, no, oh, she had it coming.
No,
she's literally asking for
no,
it.
No, but she's not asking
she's
for it.
She's saying that her definition of being
would I send her a dick
and
pic?
Success is getting a random dick pic
I
from
want,
a random person.
I'm as random as they come. And I come buckets. Look.
He's back, ladies and gentlemen.
This is what I'm saying, guys.
He's back, and he's better than...
I'm as random as any of the people that read that comment.
No, it's not random. Well, it's only random in the sense that if there was a roulette of friends and you spun the wheel
landed
and it
landed
on Larry, even though
look,
you're the fucking bankrupt on the last round of Wheel of Fortune where you're on there multiple times.
Next to millions, dude. I'm the bankrupt that's in between the two tiny millions.
I don't know what we're talking about.
I'm just saying that he's justifying his dick as being random in the sense that
look,
it's random out of the circle
look,
of fucking
people. It's like this.
People,
if
we're you
doing
know.
Wheel of Fortune analogies. The clue is cartoon character, right? And on the screen, it says Affy Uck. All
right? Right.
She needs the D.
God damn it. All right. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
All right.
She needs the D to win.
So parenting, fuck it.
Yeah, man. You know why? Because, you know, I need a nanny now, man. I'm fucking famous, dude.
I don't even know. What
I need a nanny, an accountant, an assistant to carry these giant nuts that I have because my IVC got swollen from them taking out my kidney. I got a big fucking right nut.
That's what you lead with, man.
Yeah, that's shit, dude.
Was that the shit that didn't make it into the article?
Yeah dude. Because I didn't find out I had a big right nut to my last fucking doctor visit, which was 2 days ago.
And when your doctor went, whoa.
Yeah, he went, Jesus. And I'm like, yeah.
He's like, no, not, I've seen it before, Larry, so I know how beefy it is. I'm talking about this beefy nut.
Yeah, and I was like...
Ha, ha, ha.
yeah, dude. And I'm like, well, what's up, dog? Because anytime someone is down there and my pants are around my ankles, I gotta talk like that. He's like, how long has your beefy nut been swollen?
I'll give you my beefy nut.
And I'm like, oh, it's been swollen for a while. I fuck, I thought it was, shit.
Just a simple question. So have you been feeling like, you've been feeling regular?
Fuck.
Ups and downs, dog. Some days are good.
Some days are fucking bad. They're fucking bad. They're so bad. So yeah, man, make them babies, dude. Fuck them all.
What are we talking about?
Dad's corner, dude. Yeah. Fucking Bob Hope beat his kids. Wait, no, it's Bing Crosby.
Oh shit, Mommy Dearest.
All right, now it's time for Hey, That's Not Funny, where we talk about stuff that's not funny, and we're definitely talking about something that's not funny. We're talking about vitamin D synthesis. That's right. Coming from the Endocrine Society journal, they're talking about tanning. Tanning your skin may protect the skin against harmful UV irradiation, but it blocks the vitamin D synthesis. So what they've found out is that as your skin tans, it darkens to protect itself from harmful ultraviolet radiation. But as it tans, the darker it gets, the more increased pigment, the less vitamin D synthesis happens. So, you know, like some people that are super pale and they're like, you need to go outside so your body will get sun and produce vitamin D. That happens naturally. Well, if you go outside a lot and you get tanned, the darker your skin gets, the less vitamin D it produces. So they found that a lot of people that live in Brazil and around the equator, they've got very great tans, but because they're so tanned, they're not getting enough vitamin D. It's almost like the opposite. It's like the whole reason that you want to get sun is to go and get vitamin D. So there's like kind of a sweet spot of overtanning to where your body won't produce as much.
Right.
So, okay, this is a real question. So don't think that I'm pretending to be ignorant.
Okay.
Okay. So Brazilian people have really good tans, so they don't produce enough vitamin D. Now that's a tan. That's not their, skin pigmentation.
Skin color. Well, I think the dark, yeah, cause this is just from the actual darkening of the skin. So I think it's already
okay,
dark.
Darkening. Yes, okay, yes, so yes. A black person it has fine it vitamin D levels. It's,
you're talking
okay,
about
okay.
A light-skinned person. Okay. The darker they get, the less there's a point to where it synthesizes less vitamin D than normal.
Okay, got it.
Anyway, so it's not that fun a topic, just a very interesting thing. But it just, you know, always trying to find fun, interesting topics brought that sort of article, let me think like, hey, brought me to my topic question is, what's the tannest you've ever been in your entire life? So I'm going to start off. I'll start off with my answer, which was, it would have been 1994, I think. 1994. So this was the summer before my junior year in high school, right? Or no, sophomore year. Anyway, I literally spent every single day at the neighborhood pool. We had a neighborhood pool in our subdivision. It was just walk down the street. I went there and I tossed the tennis ball around all day. That's pretty much all I did. I swam a little bit. Even though I was the fat kid in the t-shirt, the stuff outside the shirt got very, very tan. And I remember specifically that school yearbook photo because it was after summer. You do your yearbook photos once you come back in from the summer. I had like my hair also lightened from being in the pool so much.
Yeah.
And I had this like golden bronze tan. I freaking looked good. Yeah. Cause it was the first, that picture I think was responsible for getting me my first girlfriend ever. Luckily. Cause I also borrowed my brother's polo shirt.
Yeah.
So I was rocking like a sweet polo shirt.
Yeah.
Had a nice golden bronze tan, light and kind of hair.
Yeah. Naturally frosted tips.
But that summer I was in the sun every single damn day. I had nothing better to do, but luckily I had, the neighborhood pool. So I would go there every single day that summer. Every single day.
A Clarence tan or a Greg Universe tan?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Take off my shirt and I was super white. But that never happened.
Sleeves are long enough before you can ruin the illusion. I'm the same way. So
trucker tan?
Yeah.
Absolute farmer tan to the max. Man, it was a good summer though, man. Real good summer. Super cute. Yeah. Hugged in the pool.
Yeah.
In the pool.
In the pool.
Yeah. Oh, I hugged in a wave pool once. Boner City.
Yeah, man. That was good. Good. I don't know if that was the last name.
But Boner yeah. City Bay is yeah. what I called it.
I need to find that picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good looking Regan.
Yeah. Don't make a high school kid get out of a wave pool if he has a girlfriend.
Ooh.
Oh, man, no way.
Boner City.
Boner City, USA.
All right. What are you guys' answers?
Mine's 2001. I was dating this foxy chick named Andy.
Who's that?
Tell me more. Tell me more.
Yeah. I gotten a job at Fiesta, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Six Flags. And I had dyed my hair, which I had a lot of.
Oh, shit.
That went down, you know, Zach De La Rocha style to like my ears. And I had dyed it like, what was the Hot Topic color? Like douche red. Like it was like. It was like
juice red,
blood red, scary guy, right? You know, it did all for the nookie.
The name of the color was like scary red.
Yeah, scary guy red. You know, like
fuck.
You know, everyone's gonna know you're cool red.
The kind of red I would use for like a creative character in a game. Like, oh shit, I want that hair.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
So they didn't allow red hair, and I did the whole bleach my hair. Then dye it, so it was like hardcore blood red. So then they said I couldn't have it. So then instead of doing the bleach again, I just dyed it blue black. You know, like goth blue black.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But it was black. I like blue black. And so what the sun did to my hair is it turned it like maroon. Like this cool brown red, like almost natural maroon like color. Yeah, like a fucking wine. Yeah. It was like wine colored hair. And this like olive fucking my 1/8 Greek kicked in. So right. My tan was really, really good. And that was a year that I went to visit my sister who lived in Florida at the time. And I took my mom and we took a plane ticket. It was pre-9/11. And I was really afraid of planes. And it was this little commuter plane and all that. So speaking of trucker tans, farmer tans, Andy teased me about how white my shoulders were.
Okay.
You right. Know? So then she says, when you go to the beach, make sure to get a tan on your shoulders. So trying to impress this chick that lets me finger and all that. Like,
awful nice of her.
Yeah. I decided to wear a tank top.
Beautiful.
Right? Mm-hmm. And oiled up, right? With the suntan lotion. Lathered up. But I didn't put any sunblock on my shoulders.
The white parts.
The super white parts so I could get a tan on there.
Yeah.
But I ended up getting, was it first degree burns? Like worse than a sunburn,
yeah.
Like where it's actual, like my skin was like,
yeah,
it bubbled,
yeah,
and it was some God of the worst pain. And I still have damage from it. All of those are lifelong
freckles,
melanomin or whatever.
You burnt them.
They burn them. So yeah, they fucked up, and so that's, you know, what you get.
Yeah.
We're trying to impress the coos.
Hey, she was letting you finger.
Yeah.
So.
You're right.
I mean, those are the leaps that you take for love.
Right. You know, yeah. I was trying to impress her with these, you know, beefy chops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she got it, though.
She got what?
Oh, she got it.
Yeah, she all got right. It all. Aching for the bacon, man.
Well, Jess
created a human inside that shit.
So late last year,
real eye roll.
Late last year, I did the Ancestry DNA test.
Really?
So, yeah, I did the spit in a cup. They send back like what you're split up there. Turns out I'm 43% Native American.
Damn
who
would
have thunk it?
Yeah,
right.
Geez.
Right?
Mestizo, bro.
Fucking
with
the
Quetzalcoatl.
15% from Great Britain, and then 13%.
Japanese.
No. And that's what Lisa was like. This motherfucker is going to be like 1/4 Asian or something.
And then you're going to own it. Like you're going to, I am an Asian American.
Self-identify.
Yeah. And I'm 13% Iberian Peninsula, which is basically kind of common in a lot of Hispanics because I guess that means that they're island people.
The Grand Basin or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then 12% Italian. No Asian. It's like
explains a dick.
Less 1%, so zero Asian. Which is
that sucks.
Surprising. 3% African, so that's pretty cool.
Explains the dick.
It does. So the reason I guess I bring it up because it kind of, you know, it's all about why I just have been generally, I guess, a dark colored person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the darkest tan that I ever got was, okay, so we're all seeing years. I think this was like a 96.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like your
30s.
Early 30s. I was hanging out with my friends. Not a lot of us drove. I don't think I had a car yet. And we all wanted to go eat at the time. They're one of the few sushi restaurants in San Antonio was Fujiya. Yeah, and so it was a drive to Fujiya from essentially the east side, southeast side of San Antonio, make the trek to Fujiya. But we all met at a central location. And that day, I was hanging out with my homeboy, Daniel. And he was driving his dad's pickup truck. That was his vehicle. Mm-hmm. And he had this old, beat up Ford yellow pickup, just ratty thing. And this is back in the day. It's like, well, I can drive in the front. Someone can drive in the passenger side, but somebody's got to have to fucking jump in the back. So I rolled in the back of this Ford pickup truck, and he can only drive so fast because it was a piece of shit. So he can only go 40 tops. Anything over 40 would just feel like it's like breaking apart. And he couldn't get on the highway because his parents at the time told him, you can't get on the highway. Yeah, one, on that truck, and also because of your own safety. So he took the long way to this restaurant. So it was like a 45-minute drive.
God.
On a hot summer day. Fucking, if I just rolled around, I'd just be rotisserieing myself in this fucking truck, just getting a nice, crisp, golden brown. And I did not get burned. I did not burn. No, I just fucking got brown.
You're a person of the sun.
Dude, yeah, I was just fucking dark as fuck. I felt crispy. Like, I felt like I don't use lotion, so my skin was just dry. Not like ashy dry, just fucking crispy. Like, I cooked. And for like the whole month, I was like this.
It lasted a month.
Fucking dude, yeah, it was that. This dark ass fucking tan.
That was the ride there and the ride back.
It was the ride there and the ride back. And we went somewhat early afternoon. So even though we spent 2 hours eating at this, you know, it was an experience because we're like teenagers essentially, but we're eating at this at the, you know, fancy Japanese restaurant. Dark as fuck. I did feel bad for the dude who was riding with me, who was just, fucking crystal white. And he just was, he was a fucking lobster. He was a lobster by the time we got there. He was like, most times people go out in the sun and they're burnt the next day. This motherfucker was burnt the moment we pulled up at this restaurant. He was automatically like sore from just the drive.
Poor guy.
Just cooking in this, like, you know, just straight up, like, you know, this is a bad pickup truck. He didn't have the whole rubber bed or anything. Just sitting on hot fucking truck.
That sucks.
So like for a month, I was just this fucking dark fucking crispy brown. Like people question whether I spoke fucking English, which is still maybe a thing now.
That was your people talking through your skin, bro.
That was the people talking to my skin. I was a man of the sun.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was, I'm pretty dark, and I got the farmer's tan and everything too. So I guess it just sticks. But fucking super dark. Like, I look like my tennis creative character from a fucking...
Dwayne looks nothing like you?
I look just like me.
Let's all get tans,
your
dude.
Me looks like you.
I look like y'all's guy's NBA Street fucking version of me.
I looked exactly like me.
Dead on.
Larry's was like exactly like
Larry's me. Was good. Mine just looked like, goddamn it, like it just looked like just, I don't know.
I had to have like cornrows.
Yeah.
They didn't have my long hair. No, apparently no basketball players have long hair. Now they would because of what's his dick.
Right. Yeah,
a couple of what's his dicks. Yeah. Damn it. I should create my creative player now.
Yeah, Luke's been talking shit. He's probably going to bring 2K when he comes visit.
Oh,
so.
No, but you got to get 2K17 when they're going to have fucking the Dream Team USA, the original Dream Team.
I saw that video.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man. You're going to
David Robinson.
Patrick Ewing, you still dreaming about your crappy jump shot? I'm super excited. I probably won't get it, but... Fucking still cool. Yeah.
I'll buy it. I'll go to your house and play it, dude.
Oh, fuck yeah, dog.
Do they have it on PS2?
I hope so. I got one.
Facebook answers. Travis K said, the most tan I've ever been was in summer 2007 when I worked for Bear Concrete. I worked in the field outside 10 plus hours a day, 5 days a week.
Ooh, nice. Fucking A.
I was also in my best shape then. Now I just look like a fat ghost of what I used to be.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
It's all right, man. Just start working concrete.
But he didn't burn. He got tan?
I guess so.
Nah, nice. Travis got fucking burned.
Well, maybe he was smart about it. And
he slathered. You put your suntan lotion on.
Got a nice tan.
You get nice and crispy. You get nice and you get the fucking juices flowing. You're just rotisserie yourself.
Like
nice.
Bill Burr says that black people have known the secret of moisturizing their skin. And like, he's like, I thought when it got cold, he just hurt.
Desiree Bonner says, this was me last in Florida last month. It's a picture of Casper, the friendly ghost.
Yeah.
She goes, I'm either red or white. There is no in between. That sucks.
Yeah, it is.
Larry. Gabriel Diaz says, when I lived on base when I was in second grade, homeboy looked like Wesley Snipes.
That's what he said.
Yeah, Gabe, I guess you're just outdoors every day, Gabriel, and just turned black.
Dominican papi. Homeboy looked like Wesley Snipes.
He plays Napath. Straight up like that.
What was all that on that movie? It was like, when we talking outside, he passes a 57, but when we come inside, he Pee Wee Herman.
Fright Flight. Yeah, it was a show.
This guy was afraid to fly, and his wife was just, you know, respectable black woman, just being like, you need to calm down. And then she goes, how come when we ain't on a plane, you Wesley Snipes, but as soon as we get on one, he turned into Pee Wee Herman?
Old delivery.
Yeah,
on paper, that just sounds dumb, but shit, man. No, it's on the delivery. It was dynamite.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was fucking dynamite.
Zachary Fortes Gom says, in the words of Master Yoda, more or less, tan not burn or burn not. There is no tan.
Just lobster.
Burn or burn not. There is no tan.
Just straight up lobstering.
Alfred Perez says, when I was in Judson Marching Band and a bagger at HEB. Damn, I literally was the darkness. It was my senior year in high school. I stayed up listening to Queen when I was 17. So, yeah, bagging groceries. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Bagging hoes.
Samantha Lines Rake says, usually I have a skin that is a shade that is a couple shades lighter than eggshells. My manager many years ago, who was a tanning addict, liked to refer to me as Casper. That's racist.
It is,
dog.
Should have filed with HR.
Yeah.
This year, however, I've made a concerted effort to get more sun and fight a severe vitamin D deficiency. I am now actually distinguishable from paper, barely. But it's the most tan I've been since I was 9 or so.
See? Recycled paper, Sam.
Yeah, a little bit darker, right? Eggshell. Yeah, or darker than eggshell. Andrew Thomas says, right now, I work outside, so my hair is super blonde as well.
Ooh, naturally frosted tips.
Send a pic.
Yeah, pew pic, man.
I'm sorry, what?
Does the carpet match the pews?
Ryan Timothy Bray says, I don't tan, I burn. And most burned I ever got was when I was 11 at a water park. I know what you're going to say. Yeah. At a water park, the skin on my arms and legs were bubbling off, just like Larry's. Good thing I was wearing a shirt to cover my shame. It saved my torso from the suffering, same fate.
Yeah.
Are all our fans white?
Yeah, because Judson Cooper says, never truly tan, other than my driving arm. Ugh. I've had some wicked burns, though. Excruciating when you're naturally whiter than stone.
Yeah,
so answer yes.
That's actually still haunts me to this day. My former manager, and this is just going down a dark route, but my former manager at Shamrock, rest in peace, he got skin cancer. And the doctors told him that the first signs were on his fucking left arm because he drove a pickup truck with the windows down in Texas for years. And so he had what he thought was a burn on his arm, and it was like the first signs of skin cancer.
I got that shit checked.
And so that shit still scares me. Like, I have, you know, it just, like, I'm self-conscious of, like, it's just one of those weird reflexive things, like, oh, my arm, bring it down, because it just, that haunts me to this day.
Wow. I've learned it kind of, like, cancer is kind of like a general fucking term, dude.
Right, exactly.
You can get cancer of anything.
Yeah,
it's
just
like getting a fucking, I have an infection.
Right.
You know, like you can get an infection anywhere, man. Cancer's a motherfucker. Your skin's an organ, dude. Yeah, and I'm an organ donor.
But I think me being 43% Native American, fucking, that's why I got this beefy left arm.
Yeah, the sun absorbs in you.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. The sun gets power from you.
Yeah, I'm like fucking Diablo in Suicide Squad, but not a pussy.
Damn, dude. I ain't going to watch that movie until it comes out on Redbox.
Yeah, you're cool. Don't worry about that so much.
Redbox.
Vitamin D deficiency and tanning. It's not funny.
No, it's not funny. It's not funny that people need the D.
Vitamin D's nuts.
Yeah. The right amount of D.
Just the right amount. They can't have too much D.
So if a girl's
then they don't want, they can't accept any more D.
So a girl's kind of pale, she needs a D.
Yes.
Susie's kind of pale.
Hey, that's not,
there it is.
It's not a comfortable subject to be talking about.
She's just asking for it.
She's not at all, never once said.
Well, all right. This was a nice homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Back at it again.
Wait, Regan didn't sound really...
He was enthused.
It was something.
All right.
You know what, man? It's the way it should be. I heard as much as I needed to hear on those other podcasts.
Really? You didn't? You only heard one piece of the puzzle.
Like I said, you didn't hear
the other good times that we had. And we wish you were here.
I wish I was there, too.
But they were good times. Mm. We had great times.
They're all right times.
I wish.
They're all right times. Regan missed me more than anything. I think more than anyone else.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that we've learned in these 2 months. Come on, Anthony. And Jess Anthony Castro... Regan Rhea Revelos, Lorenzo Flores Garza.
This is the part of the show
where we ask ourselves, because we know that this is an educational program.
We know, yeah.
And we ask each other and ourselves,
mm-hmm.
What did we come to know? Shit. In these past 2 months of doing podcasts, subpar podcasts.
No, they were exceptional.
Had some really good ones.
We had some great, particularly the last time we had a super great time.
Flat out boring podcast.
Yeah. There it is.
What made us come to learn something about ourselves or each other? So today, Jess, what did you come to know?
I've come to know that with Larry, there's never true satisfaction in life. You can't be truly satisfied with the fucking cards you've been dealt.
I am.
No, man. No, you're not. Not really at all. See,
you don't fucking know me.
Well, here's the thing. You've overcome a giant hurdle in life, and I love that you're here with us.
It's like a tonsillectomy.
Right, exactly.
Other organs.
And you've had, a little rise of the limelight. You did a great set that you were going to have anyways. Mm. But the fact that you, overcame the pain and did it anyways, you had a great article written about you, pictures on the cover of a magazine that's all over town. It's all great.
Fucking famous, man.
It's pretty good. You're hanging out with your friends. Your best friends. Having a good old time.
Yeah.
Life is good. Life is great. However, it's still not fucking good enough that an avid listener / fan has said on multiple accounts, on a personal level and in a public forum, namely our own, saying, I love what you do. I listen to it multiple times, and I admire everything that you do. And we ask this individual, who would be your favorite? And he didn't may say it, but he pretty much said that you're his favorite. Mm. And not only that, that you're an admirable father figure. You're a father that he wishes he may have had.
Yeah.
Yet, this fucking guy doesn't have... It's not good enough that, with all that said, because his other 15 minutes of fame was in a different project where he was seen in a different movie. So after everything he said, after all his generous contributions to our show, it's still not enough.
How many gifts did he give you?
He gave you 2 gifts.
You guys know what that's like. A. B. I'm not the kind of father figure that's going to be like, smoke weed here. At least I know you're safe. Nah, I don't smoke weed at all. I don't care how many A's you get.
I don't know where you're getting at this.
Fucker.
My point is that this individual, Gabriel Diaz, who's an excellent individual, came on our show because he contributed to our show, and I'm forever thankful for that.
Jordan missed some easy shots.
Yet, and then you give him a question, and he didn't fucking bow down to say, my favorite moment of fame was the time I was on The Thing I Admire a Lot.
That just
it's not
means
good enough for you.
Just took all the validity out of all those comments, man. Thanks, Gabe. You broke my heart.
Yeah, Gabe, seriously, you should have said public access.
No, dude. much like how cancer doesn't define who Larry is, public access doesn't define who Gabriel Diaz is. Guy's got two doctrines or whatever, smashing mad potatoes and fucking
invite me down to Corpus so we can smash papas.
And he's making and he it, public access doesn't define him. He likes it, but he doesn't let it define who he is. He is Gabriel Diaz, not the man who listens to Public Access. And yet, like, that's what you expect him to be.
You know what, man? A sponsor should believe in his product more.
It's not like he's Don Johnson. He's drinking a Coke, like, and he was being sponsored by Pepsi. That's not what the guy did. That's not what happened here. He's just saying that he enjoys these other things too. And it's still not good enough.
Yeah,
that's what I come to know, that you're never truly
Gabe,
happy.
No, Gabe, I'm not upset. I'm just disappointed.
Wow,
that's real dad talk, bro.
Hey, man,
from Dad's Corner.
Well, yeah. That's what I came to know.
Here's what I fucking came to know, Jess. About this.
All right.
Look, I came to know
that
if a female friend keeps throwing it out there.
No, that's...
You know?
No.
I wouldn't... I never did the thought ever cross my mind to send... beautiful photos, you know, to said friend, right? Until, you know, she's throwing it out there,
no,
baby.
No, no, man, that's not what...
It's not okay.
It's not okay at all.
But you're not letting me finish.
Shit, we don't want you to finish.
That my two dick liquor friends...
God damn it.
Wait, you're referring to us now?
Mad Jelly, that I called Dibsies.
Or the previous hosts.
All of y'all, because I'm jealous of all of y'all. You know, that's not what I learned. I've known that for a while. She's been putting it out there for a minute.
Good gravy. Good fucking gravy. God damn it.
What did you, then what? Or the nothing?
What I came to know.
God damn it.
And I've known this forever, is that you guys love me.
I do.
And I love y'all too.
Yeah.
And I've missed this very much.
Yeah.
And I need to bring, what I came to know is that I'm becoming very old and frail, and I need to bring cushions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird kind of thing.
Or you guys swap out for the cushy chair.
Man, no more cushy chair.
There's
baby.
No more cushy chair, bro. He's got to bring a hemorrhoid pillow.
Exactly.
Oh, I call it the Star Trek pillow, because it's for your neck, but it's also for your butt too. Called Star Trek pillow because it looks like the Star Trek icon.
Yeah, it puts Worf's on my butt.
Yeah. So,
I came to know today that a vast majority of our very interactive public access listeners are wicked white.
Wicked white.
And don't tan.
Nope.
I want to say like 7 out of those 10, if not 8 of those 10 answers were from very, very light-skinned people who do not tan. So I appreciate your guys' active participation. And maybe I'll run some studies. I might actually do my own research.
All right,
start looking at the activity levels on public access sort of people and see, you know, maybe do a little demographic kind of thing.
It's like an Ancestry.com thing, but for the interactive.
Yeah, send us your spit.
No, that's no, we don't need your spit.
Send it to Klondike 5.
we got some light-skinned listeners out there. Not listeners, but active public access answerers.
Right. Match the drapes, y'all?
I don't know. So that's what I came to know.
We're not asking to know either, by the way.
Jess, anything coming up?
Well, actually, there is a couple of things coming up. There's actually some pretty neat things. But first off, I'd like to thank you for listening to us on oneofus.net. We highly appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen to our shenanigans. We're happy that Larry's back. We're very excited. You can keep on listening to us at oneofus.net. You can get older episodes at comediaagogo.com. You can be our friends on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at comediaagogo and hashtag public access. And be a public access happy camper. Just search for that. And Facebook and add yourself to the group so you can answer our questions and our topics and how interact with all of our other light-skinned friends. That would be super, super awesome. The cool news is that over the past few weeks/months, as stated before, our latest short, Get the Hell Out, has been doing super cool in festivals. We had won the best comedy short in Fort Worth Indie Film Showcase, which we had mentioned last episode. And we had just finished doing a great screening here in our hometown at the San Antonio Film Festival. That was super awesome. Our next screenings across the plate would be at the SummerSlam Film Festival in Freeport, Texas, coming up soon. That's pretty awesome. We're also accepted into the official Latino Short Film Festival in Harlem, New York.
Yeah.
And so that's actually pretty cool. And by the time you listen to this, there'll be the official announcement will have been made. And then finally, after that as well, our movie Get the Hell Out will play as a part of a shorts showcase at the Blue Whale Comedy Festival in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is really cool. It's a comedy festival where stand-up comedians go out and do their thing, but opening night there's a selection of comedy shorts, and our short has been selected with that. So that all couldn't be possible without your contributions to our GoFundMe at the beginning of this year. That was the main goal that we set out to collect money for, and we're able to enter into festivals comfortably, and because of you guys, we're able to get it the exposure that we wanted to get, and we're getting accepted into more festivals like this. So definitely looking forward to more good news coming forward with that. So three festival screenings come down the road. Infinitely thank you for helping support us with that, and we have some cool projects down the road we'll come to talk about later.
Yeah, man. And be sure to follow Comedia Go-Go, like Jess said, because coming soon from Comedia Go-Go is the long-awaited stand-up comedy special by yours truly, Larry Garza.
Yay!
Titled Big Mama God and the Hazel-Eyed Monster.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Jess has been editing the shit out of it.
I have been.
And it's going to be great. It's going to be a package deal that if you order it online through our site, not only will you get the video recorded live at the Bang Bang Bar, but you will also be able to get the audio from the Blind Tiger Comedy Club.
Yeah.
Still decided on the marketing. I want to have the product before we do that, but that will be coming soon.
Yeah.
And just added to LarryGarzaComedy.com is my online store. So you will be able to purchase t-shirts that I sell at my shows. The Happy Wife Safe and Knife shirt, the Larry Garza black and white clown shirt, and coming soon from our partners at Creative Works, and the design by Nidia Huzar from Barbacoa Apparel, the full color clown shirt. Do need to take those pre-orders so I can get them. So look for that soon. If you're in the San Antonio area, October 1st, I will be at the Freetail Brewery. Headlining is going to be my first show. Well, the headlining show since the bullshit, and I will be at the Improv Comedy Club inside River Center Mall September 23rd to the 20-something, that week of September.
Some week of September. Yeah,
the week of September with the 20s in it, I'll be there.
Awesome.
So check it out, guys, and I can't wait to get back on stage, but not till September.
Yeah, and if I may, the special's going to be fucking awesome, because if you live in San Antonio and you were there the night of the Bang Bang show, you were there and you knew how fucking special it was. It was the word is special. It's really fucking special. It was a packed house. Fucking made us all feel great at a time when we needed to feel great. And that moment has been captured on video. Major shout out to Brian Ortiz, Scott Langford, Bramp Bumpers, and Hector Bojorquez for volunteering their time to capture it on video and make it what the initial plans was, to do a CD, turning it to something that's going to be fucking magical. It's really fucking good. And on top of that, the show at the Blind Tiger was also fucking cool. So we made the creative decision to give you both experiences over that weekend, because that weekend was emotional and triumphant and fucking awesome.
It was a nonstop adrenaline-filled thrill ride.
Yeah, at the same time, very scary. But at the end of the day, it's super triumphant. It's really cool, and I think you guys are really going to like it when it comes out.
It's all right. So,
it's like the movie Point Break, the original.
Yeah. Not the remake, yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Thanks, Jess.
Right? You're welcome.
It's such nice words, man. But yeah, you'll just, hyped it up. You're going to buy it, and you're going to be like, oh.
Well, it's pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah. So thank you guys very much. Visit the San Antonio Current, sanantoniocurrent.com. Type Larry Garza, read the article that Kiko Martinez graciously did on me. But also, when you do that search, type Comedia Go-Go. See all the shit that the Current's written about us, and a lot of it is pretty, 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 pretty cool. You can read, Kiko's review of Blood Cousins. You can read some of the best ofs that we've won, and just kind of the history.
When we first started
Go-Go.
Public Access, actually, that's another cool story. When we actually first did Public Access, and we had a few live installments.
Yeah, so go to the SanAntonioCurrent.com and also past casts of the podcast. You type them up in the search engine and get to read the cool articles that they have on there. And so, you know, thank you so much. Mamas, we miss you.
We miss mamas.
Yeah. And this is dedicated to you, my dear doggy.
Yeah.
Once again, and I'm happy to be back, this is Larry.
This is Reed.
And this is Jess.
And I'm not going to die. Bye.
Here comes the fun! Here comes the